Lord be with you. Welcome to worship this morning. My name is Steve Price. I'm one of the pastors here with Trinity and delighted to welcome you to worship today. If it's your first time with us, I'm especially glad to welcome you and so glad that you decided to spend this time with us. Whether you're here for the first time or you're here all the time, we'd love it if you would take a moment to fill out the connection card that you'll find inside your bulletin. That's just a way for us to stay connected with you, and if you're new, as much information as you're willing to share is helpful to us in knowing what you might like to know more about and how we can better connect with you. If you're here regularly, just your name and your email are great, and you can put those in the offering plates as they come by a little bit later in the service. Also in your bulletin, you will find a lot of information about things that are going on in the life of the church. Today especially, even if you kind of look at that sometimes and go, oh yeah, I've read that already. Today, not so much, because we are right at the beginning of a new season of midweek ministry and Bible studies and opportunities for people to plug in. So take a moment and look and see if there's something there that really connects with you and a way that you would like to go deeper in your faith during the next few weeks. And also, of course, encourage you to participate in our midweek ministry that ramps back up again this week with a meal and with opportunities for all ages. One other thing I want to make sure you know about each week, of course, is our mission box, a way for Trinity to support ministries and organizations beyond the walls of our church. Today is Ronald McDonald House, and what a great way of serving children and families in our community. Those gifts can be placed in the boxes that are at the exit doors, or you can use the text to give information that is in your bulletin as well. Well, again, welcome. As you come in to this time and place, may you sense God's abundant love for you, and may we share that with one another as we find respite and a sense of home together in worship. So I say to you this morning, welcome home. Would you take a moment and greet one another as we prepare to worship today?
Good morning, everyone. Would you please remain standing as you're able, and let's join together in singing our opening hymn.
Restored, forgiven, evermore not free.
King of Heaven, we are gathered here in this sacred space with an Alleluia on our lips. And we pray, oh God, that as we gather, you give us a glimpse of just how wide your mercy goes, so that we might be transformed, having been in your presence, experience change of heart and life, so that we might go into the world as instruments of your grace and peace. And now, would you please join me in affirming our faith using this affirmation from the United Church of Canada. We are not alone. We live in God's world. We believe in God who has created and is creating, who has come in Jesus, the Word made flesh, to reconcile and make new, who works in us and others by the Spirit. We trust in God. We are called to be the church, to celebrate God's presence, to love and serve others, to seek justice and resist evil, to proclaim Jesus, crucified and risen, our judge and our hope. In life, in death, in life beyond death, God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Glory be to the Father. As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Amen.
Today, as we join our hearts in prayer, we have an opportunity to pray for a special group of folks who are among us. As I mentioned during the welcome time, we are ramping up for a new season, and that means a new school year, which means Stepping Stones Preschool is about to get started here at Trinity this week. Actually, it's really already started for our teachers, as they've been busily preparing this past week and even earlier than that. But let me invite you all to come up now, and Jan Banks, our director of Stepping Stones, is going to share a little bit with you about what's in store for this coming year.
Good morning. Lions and tigers and bears, oh my! We are going to be taking a walk on the wild side as we explore God's wild kingdom, which is our theme this year. The Bible reminds us in Psalm 150, verse 6, let every creature praise the Lord. And that's exactly what we intend to do as we safari through the Amazon rainforest and the African grasslands. I'd also like to take this opportunity to welcome our newest two-legged animal to our habitat, and that is McCall Griggs, who is Trinity's new Stepping Stones Assistant Director. And yay. On behalf of the entire teaching team, we just would like to take this opportunity to tell you what an honor it is to serve this congregation and our Lord in such a tangible way. And we ask you to pray for us every single day because, as you know, it's a jungle.
So Jan really does, and all of these teachers really do appreciate your prayers throughout the year, and we're going to get started on that today, so that as our in our prayer time, we can offer a blessing for them. So I want to invite you now, if you're comfortable, to extend a hand or hands toward them as a sign of blessing, and would you join me in a word of prayer for them and for the school year that they're there? God, we are so grateful for the children that have been entrusted to this church to care for them and nurture them in the faith and in their growth as young people. We're so grateful for these teachers who offer themselves to you and to these children and their families. So we pray that this school year would be one of learning and through our words and actions to be faithful to you and to model your love for others. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Thank you all so much for being here. These teachers were with us in the 9:40 service as well, and so you're going to see them kind of wander out now as we continue on with worship, but we're so grateful to have the opportunity to pray for you and are excited about tomorrow. Ourselves living in days where we wonder, how can we make God's love real in such a broken world? And that is the shared task of our community of faith, to join with one another in the mission God calls us to. And what is important about that work is that we are seeking to advance God's kingdom. And so we give, we share our resources. Gracious God, we thank you for all that you have blessed us with this day. And we give back to you now from what you first gave to us. We pray that our tithes, our offerings, honor you, that they're pleasing to you. But more than that, we pray that you multiply them, that you have your will and your your way with these gifts, so that we might be participants in building your kingdom here on earth as it is in heaven. In Jesus' name, amen.
Now, as parents and as grandparents and others who have children in our lives, we often want to be able to explain who God is to them and how God is at work in the world, and yet sometimes we're not sure exactly how to do that. And then for all of us, we would love to have a deeper understanding of who God is, and sometimes the most profound understanding can come in the very simplest of ways. So each week we're looking at a particular children's story and how in that story we learn more about the nature and essence of God. So today we're talking about God's faithfulness and God's forgiveness. As we begin, I invite you to bow your heads and pray for me in sharing this message with you today. God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable to you. For you are our strength and our weakness. Amen. So when I was a little girl, one of the things that I was tasked with was to help with setting the table. Now, my parents had and still have a solid oak round table with that big round pedestal underneath. And I remember very clearly one morning when I was helping Mother set the table. She had put everything on for breakfast already. She'd put around the plates. She had put the orange juice and milk in the glasses. She had a bowl of eggs on the table and a bowl of fruit on the table and a plate of bacon for a big breakfast altogether. And then she left. and went to go and get my sister and my father for breakfast. Now, my job, because I was only four at the time, I was only entrusted to put the silverware on the table. Now, when Mother had set the table, I had taken particular notice of the fact that she was able to stand in one place and reach and put the plate all the way around the table. And I was quite enamored with that. So I decided that I should try to stand in one place and put all the silverware all the way around the table. So at first I reached, and of course I couldn't reach. And then I kind of leaned on the table and tried to reach, and I still couldn't reach. So finally, I gave it a little jump, and the table tilted, and everything came crashing down. All of the dishes and glasses were broken. The eggs went flying everywhere. Fruit slid across the floor. And, of course, my parents rushed into the room, hearing all the commotion, scared to death. And then as soon as they saw that I was unscathed, all I remember in my memory as this four-year-old child was being picked up and taken and put out in a wicker chair on the patio, probably to get me out from the midst of all of the glass and broken dishes. But as I sat there in that wicker chair, which is still in your family room, because I was sure that I was going to be murdered. I mean, I'd ruined breakfast, I'd tipped over the table, and I'd broken all of those dishes and glasses. I knew that they would just send me away to some lost island to stay there forever. But finally, I heard the door open, and my mother came out. And I began to sob uncontrollably. And I don't remember what she said. It was probably something like, "Catherine Ann, don't ever do that again." But I also threw myself into her and buried my face in her. And as soon as I felt her arms around me, I knew that I was wrapped in mercy. That I was forgiven. So perhaps that's one of the reasons I love our story for today. There's a little scene about eggs in it as well. It's called "Mama, Do You Love Me?" And I invite you to read along with me, to follow along as I read it on the screen. "Mama, Do You Love Me?" by Barbara Juice, illustrated by Barbara Lavallee. "Mama, do you love me?" "Yes, I do, dear one." "How much?" "I love you more than the raven loves his treasure, more than the dog loves his tail, more than the whale loves his spout." "How long?" "I'll love you until the umiak flies into the darkness, till the stars turn to fish in the sky, and the puffin howls at the moon." "Mama, what if I carried our eggs, our ptarmigan eggs, and I tried to be careful, and I tried to walk slowly, but I fell, and the eggs broke? What if I put salmon in your parka, ermine in your mittens, and lemmings in your muckluck? Then I would be angry. What if I threw water at our lamp? Then, dear one, I would be very angry. But still, I would love you. What if I ran away? Then I would be worried. What if I stayed away and sang with the wolves and slept in a cave? Then, dear one, I would be very sad, but still, I would love you. What if I turned into a musk ox? Then I would be surprised. What if I turned into a walrus? Then I would be surprised and a little scared. What if I turned into a polar bear, and I was the meanest bear you ever saw, and I had sharp, shiny teeth, and I chased you into your tent, and you cried? Then I would be very surprised and very scared. But still, inside the bear, you would be you, and I would love you. I will love you forever and for always, because you are my dear one. I am sure that each one of you can recall those moments, those times, when you committed some egregious act as a child, as a teenager, as an adult, perhaps even yesterday. And yet, I hope that you can also remember a time, regardless of what you did, that you were, by a parent, a friend, or a spouse, forgiven. That you were extended mercy and compassion, acceptance, and faithful love. The characteristics of faithful love and forgiveness that are practiced by Mama in our story are the very essence and nature of God. God is patient. God is compassion and mercy. God is faithful love. And God's essence and nature, who God is at all times and in all ways, always revealed in how God acts with and toward us, and with and toward all of God's children. Many of you may be familiar with the statement that is often used in the liturgy of the church. It comes originally from Exodus, and then it's used in the Psalm for today. It's often used as a pardon after confession. It says, "The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love." That comes from this song of praise that was written to God about God's faithfulness and forgiveness. So I invite you to follow along with me now as I read from Psalm 103. "Let my whole being bless the Lord. Let everything inside me bless His holy name. Let my whole being bless the Lord and never forget all God's good deeds. How God forgives all your sins, heals all your sickness, saves your life from the pit, crowns you with faithful love and compassion, and satisfies you with plenty of good things so that your youth is not expressed as an evil. The Lord works righteousness, does justice for all who are oppressed. God made His ways known to Moses, made His deeds known to the Israelites. The Lord is compassionate," here's that line, "the Lord is compassionate and merciful, very patient and full of faithful love." God won't always play the judge and won't always be angry forever. God doesn't deal with us according to our sin or repay us according to our wrongdoing. Because as high as the heaven is above the earth, that's how large God's faithful love is for those who are God. As far as the east is from the west, that's how far God has removed our sins from us. As a parent feels compassion for their children, that's how the Lord feels compassion for those who are God. Oh, God's creatures, bless the Lord everywhere throughout God's kingdom. Let my whole being bless the Lord. The Lord is the people. Thank you. exemplifies that slowness to anger and abounding love. First, the dear one sends the eggs flying. It was an accident. Sometimes our wrongs and our mistakes are simply that they are accidents, and we are forgiven. Mama says, I would be sorry, but still I would love him. God is slow to anger. Then the dear one says, but what if I put salmon in your parka, ermine in your mittens, and lemmings in your muffler? What if I threw water at the lamb? Now these are all intentional acts. These are deliberate bad behavior. How often do we deliberately do what we know is wrong? We act in ways that we know are harmful and hurtful. We behave badly. And then we seek God's forgiveness. But Mama still says, when dear one, I would be very angry, but still, I would love you. Finally, dear one says, what if I ran away and turned into mean creatures? What if I turned into a polar bear and I was the meanest bear you ever saw and I had sharp and shiny teeth and I chased you into your tent and you cried? This time, the dear one has turned into something mean, ugly, and completely different than her mama knew her to be. She turned into something or someone that was completely unrecognizable. I know parents who have experienced this with their own children. But Mama says, but still, inside the veil, you would be you, and I would love you. I know parents who have embodied that love, even in the most difficult situations. The word used to describe that love is hesed. It's a Hebrew word, hesed, that means steadfast love, faithful love. Love that doesn't fail and doesn't give up. Love that never gives out on us. And this one names that kind of love as an attribute of God expressed in all times and in all ways as God acts toward us, all the dealings that God has with us. No matter what we have done or how badly we behave, even when we are no longer recognizable because we have strayed so far from who God has created us to be, the psalmist says God doesn't deal with us according to our sin. God doesn't repay us according to our transgressions, our wrongdoing. But as far as the heaven is from the earth, that's how large God's faithful love is toward us. God's love is more than the raven loves his treasure, more than the dog loves his tail, more than the whale loves his spouse. That's how large and how strong God's love is for us. And so, he offers this song in praise to God, in praise of God's love and mercy toward us, in praise of a love so amazing and so divine that it even overwhelms us. We say, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless God's holy name. Praise God. But you know, praise is also always risky. Because if we praise God for God's faithful love and mercy, then we are required to live into it ourselves. If we affirm God, then we undoubtedly will be required to extend it to others. This week I was reminded of a verse that I hadn't read in a long time. Genesis 6:6. Kind of obscure, so you probably wouldn't know it by heart. In Genesis 6:6, it says, "The Lord regretted making human beings." We are to that right now. We don't know if the Lord regrets a man making a human being. But I believe without a doubt that right now God is heartbroken. God is heartbroken at our hatred and violence. Heartbroken at our racism and sexism and religious intolerance and anti-Semitism and xenophobia and homophobia and bigotry. God is heartbroken at our unwillingness to be abounding in faithful love and mercy toward our brothers and sisters of all races and all religions and all understandings and all orientations. Now, I do believe that in this place, we want to live a life that is gracious and merciful and abounding in faithful love. Trinity is such a gracious and loving congregation. But even us, church, even me, we are prone to sin. It is not easy for us to be colorblind. It is not easy for us to not make distinctions about people based on their race or gender or ethnicity or orientation. And sometimes those inner thoughts and tendencies reveal themselves even in the smallest of ways that can be hurtful and harmful. Here in this place, I had to assure one of my dear friends that I wanted him to serve communion, hold the Bible, even when he was anxious about doing so because of his black skin. Even in this place, I had to assure a mother that she and her child would be welcomed and loved and safe, even though her child is dead. Even in this place, I had to assure someone that sexual harassment would never be tolerated. We are all prone to bigotry and abuse of power and divisions and anger. We are all prone to sin. That's why it's risky to offer a song of praise to God for faithful love and forgiveness. Because if we praise God for those attributes, then we must embrace them ourselves. We cannot stand aside while hatred and evil are perpetrated. If God is abounding in faithful love and forgiveness, then we must be as well. Thank God we don't have to do it on our own. Abraham Herschel said, "The disparity between God and the world is overcome by God and not by us." That's the power and grace of Jesus Christ. immeasurable grace and love for each one of us. So we praise God. We praise God who is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. We praise God who loves us more than any loving father or any forgiving mother. We praise God who for always and forever will love us because we are God's children. We praise God for a love so amazing, so divine, that it demands our soul, our life, our all.
Gracious God, we are overwhelmed with gratitude. And we offer the highest praise to you for your grace and mercy, shown particularly in Jesus Christ. We give you thanks for your faithful love and your forgiveness. We praise you, O God. We ask for courage. We ask for faithfulness. We ask for humility to be able to extend that same love and grace, mercy, and loving kindness to others. We live in a world in pain, in a broken world, in need of your forgiveness. So, O God, we give you praise for an extravagant, amazing, so divine, that it demands our soul, our life, our all. Amen.
Would the whole realm of nature mind that were an offering for so amazing love, so amazing, love so divine. It is that love, my friends, that we encounter when we come here to the table. We come needing to make confession, needing to acknowledge that we have failed to put our whole selves into God's love, to offer without reserve or without limit who we are as a part of God's plan to redeem all of God's creation. To admit that we have held back, that we have resisted God's grace for ourselves or for others, that we have been timid and fearful. And when we come, when we are honest with ourselves and when we are honest with God, what we find and what we receive is not shame, not retribution, but abundant love. For here we remember that God chose to come among us in the person of Jesus Christ, to offer himself fully in a life that was obedient even to the point of death, so that we might see clearly the extent to which God would will show us love. On the night before he died, Jesus shared a final meal with his disciples. He took bread, and he broke it, and gave it to them and said, "Take, eat, this is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And after the meal, he took a cup and gave thanks. He shared it with them and said, "Take and drink, all of you. This is the blood of the new covenant poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sin. As often as you do this, do it in remembrance of me." Gracious and merciful God, fill our hearts with gratitude and with joy. Enable us to renew our commitment to living in the way of Christ. Pour out your Holy Spirit on all of us gathered here and on these gifts of the bread and the cup, that in them and among us we might recognize the real presence of Christ, so that we might be bound together, caught up in your desire for us to be one with you, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world. So hear us now as we lift our hearts and our voices to you, praying as your Son taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. We invite those who are serving this morning to come and join us at the altar rails. Trinity and in the United Methodist Church, the table of communion is always open. Everyone is invited. Christ welcomes each to his table to find grace and mercy. So we invite you to come to the pair of servers that is in front of your section or closest to you, to open your hands to receive the gift of bread, to take the bread and then dip it into the cup, and then receive the two elements together. After you have received, you can return to your seats. And if you like, you're always welcome to come and pray at the altar rails here. Everything is ready. Let us come to the table.
Oh,
Almighty God, here by the mystery of your grace, you have nourished us. So may we go out fed and prepared to live and